time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
First off, remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, occasionally in this Abandoned Manitoba series, we talk about interesting people of the past who've been forgotten. This week, I'll introduce our listeners to a few more of these memorable Manitobans. In this case, three women and three men.
I recall you mentioned that one of these people was named Aloha Wanderwell. Wanderwell? What a name. Who is this person?
Well, that wasn't her original name. She was born Idris Welch in Winnipeg in 1906. But, you know, her connection to being a Manitoban is a little tenuous, as we'll hear. Much of her childhood was actually spent in British Columbia and in Europe. In 1922, at the age of 16, she responded to a newspaper ad that was seeking a woman to join a 5-year driving trip around the world in Model T automobiles. Hired as the expedition's translator, driver, and filmmaker, she became the first woman to drive around the globe. Now, along the way, she married the expedition's leader, a man named Walter Wanderwell, who had been born in Poland as Valerian Pachinski. And she adopted the first name, Aloha, which was supposedly a childhood nickname. Now, unfortunately, their time together was short because in 1932, Walter Wanderwell was murdered aboard their yacht a day before they were to embark on a voyage to the South Pacific. The murderer was never caught, and Aloha remarried, continued to globetrot, wrote books, made films about her adventures, and eventually passed away in California in 1996.
Wow, what a life, traveling around the world in automobiles and hanging out on yachts. Aloha's life was quite interesting.
And Aloha Wanderwell, doesn't that make this a perfect sense? I mean, what better name for a person who is a veteran traveler?
Exactly. Definitely. A very interesting story. And what's the next person that you have for us?
Is William Anger. He was born in London, England, and he came to Manitoba in 1912. He found work as the circulation manager of the Winnipeg Tribune newspaper. After serving in the military during the First World War, he moved to The Pas, where in 1928, he became the advertising manager for the Northern Mail. That was the first daily newspaper in Northern Manitoba. He became so enamored with Northern life that he adopted the persona of buckskin-clad Caribou Bill. He spent summers manning a one-room museum in his cabin at Cranberry Portage, where he displayed such artifacts as a 7.5-foot-long narwhal tooth, a Colt 45 revolver said to have been used by Buffalo Bill and Calamity Jane, and literally thousands of photographs taken during his various adventures. Now, unfortunately, that cabin was destroyed by a runaway vehicle, and Caribou Bill narrowly escaped serious injury. He moved to a small community north of the Pas, set up a trailer, and he continued to man an information booth until his death in 1968. He had no family, and his remains lay in the morgue at the Pas until local citizens petitioned the provincial government to do right by Caribou Bill, and they arranged for his burial in the Lakeside Cemetery in the Pas.
So far, you have presented two people that are bigger-than-life personalities, or at least it sounds like to me, Caribou Bill. Fascinating story. And who else do you have for us today?
Well, more to come. So in 1906, Kathleen Rice graduated from the University of Toronto with a degree in math and physics. You know, those are pretty unconventional subjects for a woman to study at that time. And then she taught math at schools in Ontario, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. In 1913, she staked a homestead near the Pas, and a year later, after teaching herself about geology and prospecting, and with the help of local Indigenous people, she discovered zinc and vanadium at Reindeer Lake. Between 1920 and 1922, she and her partner, an Englishman named Richard Woosey, identified deposits of copper and nickel on an island in Wekusko Lake, and those led ultimately to major discoveries and mining in the area around Wekusko Lake. After Woosey's death in 1940, Kate Rice lived alone, yet remained active and intellectually curious, writing, for example, a thesis on the Northern Lights. Eventually, she was admitted to a hospital in Brandon, where she died in 1964 and was buried in the cemetery at Minnedosa. Now, her contributions, though, to the development of the mining industry of Northern Manitoba was recognized in 2014 when she was inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame.
It's always nice to hear of a woman leading the way in a very male-dominated industry. Who else do you have for us this morning, Gordon?
Well, we have Harry Wasilek, who established a market gardening business at Narrow in 1929. Over the years, he organized and managed the Manitoba Vegetable Co-op, and he founded several companies, most significantly, the Polyethylene Bag Manufacturing Company. This firm introduced several innovative plastic packaging products, including, in 1950, the ubiquitous green garbage bag. Yes, it was invented here in Manitoba, and it's been ranked among the top 50 Canadian inventions of all time. Mr. Wasilek passed away in 1995.
I had no idea that the green bag was formed here in Manitoba, the not-so-green province.
You're right.
More white and snow here. Oh, wow. And who else do you have for us?
I have Gladys Balsillie. She was a flamboyant, larger-than-life personality. Married to musician Reginald Balsillie, she became his agent. For 6 years, they operated a restaurant in Winnipeg, and she tended bar, after which she established a bartending school. It was in the swinging 60s, and she began to book go-go dancers, which, of course, were one of the forms of entertainment popular in the 1960s and 70s, for hotel lounges around Winnipeg. At the peak of her power, she was known as Winnipeg's Queen of Burlesque. She managed 100 exotic dancers and had a virtual monopoly in the city. In 1980, in fact, she introduced the first male exotic dancers to Winnipeg. And despite what listeners might think of her morality, she was, in fact, a devout Catholic who required all her dancers to sign contracts prohibiting drug use and prostitution. She died in 1987 and left unpaid bills of over $200,000, resulting in the bankruptcy of her estate. So even in death, Gladys Balsillie made waves.
A scandalous person to include in the list, but fascinating nonetheless. Who else do you have for us?
Well, in fact, one more scandalous personality named Albert Westgate. He was born in England with a silver spoon in his mouth into a prominent British family. And it's believed he was encouraged to immigrate, shall we say, to avoid a scandal back home. He ended up in Winnipeg, which at the time was the largest urban center on the prairies. In 1928, he was arrested on suspicion of having murdered a young married woman in Winnipeg. He was defended by a prominent lawyer, Charles Tupper, the grandson of a father of Confederation. He was found guilty, and he was sentenced to hang. At the last minute, though, his sentence was commuted to life in prison. He was paroled after serving 14 years in Stony Mountain Penitentiary, and just a few months later, after he had left the prison, he was arrested again, this time for strangling a 16-year-old waitress. And again, he was defended by Tupper, and he was found guilty a second time. But this time, his luck had run out. The hanging was carried out at the Headingley Jail. He is, I suspect, the only Manitoba criminal to be arrested for murder twice, 14 years apart, and found guilty both times.
Wow, those are certainly some very colorful characters.
Yeah, you know, and they reinforce the concept that the collection that the Manitoba Historical Society has compiled is not called Nice Manitobans, it's called Memorable Manitobans. You know, the main criterion is that the person has done something that deserves to be remembered. You know, and in fact, I would argue that a much longer biography could be written about any one of these interesting people and many, many more. You know, people often say that Canadian history just doesn't have the kind of colorful characters that the American history is so replete with. I say no. In fact, we have lots of them. We just seem to have not done as good a job at promoting awareness of them. So that's part of my motive for doing this series.
I was going to say a lot of those stories when you would read them out, my mind was going to the States, and I see what you're saying. It's definitely stories up here in Canada as well, just as colorful.
Absolutely.
So what's up for next week?
Well, when my dad was alive, he had no trouble remembering his computer password because it was the location of his home, SE991W. Now, most country folk will recognize that address, but to most city dwellers and young people, telling them the section, township, and range of a specific site is likely to draw blank looks. Next week, we'll discuss that old system of geolocation, along with one that, at least for emergencies, may lead to its abandonment.
Very excited to learn more about this system.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.